Blog Talk Radio.
Show Connect the City, guys. On this show, we're going to cover the entire gamut on politics, entertainment, relationships, celebrity and trendy news, and current events, and we're going to connect it all to the city, guys. So let's jump right in. I'm excited because guess what our title is, guys? Love, Sex, and Pain. We have, you know, I don't know if I told Daryl Fletcher this, so I'm just going to say it before he gets on the phone and says no. We want him to be our resident relationship therapist, period. Okay. Like we have our sex therapist, Jen. We love her. She's going to be on the show. Before we bring everybody in, this show is an action-packed hour and a half of love, sex, pain, relationships, everything you want to talk about, everything you want to know about. Really? We've got two specialists. Experts in their field on the line with us this evening. We're going to talk about lots of sexy stuff. Yes. Before we get started, though, on a sad, somber note, we have to be excited. This is our show, right? Exactly. But we want to dedicate this episode and future episodes to our good, so our really, really good friend,
Roderick Dunstan.
He passed away this last Thursday. We found out on Facebook. We're very, very upset. We guys, just send out love and condolences to his family, guys. You have never met anybody that will support you more than Roderick Dunstan. So we just want to say, his family.
Yes, our condolences. Connect the City.
God, he's called in.
We name everybody that he has supported.
Remember in the city, J.B. Jones, D.C. Knights have supported him and everything. So let's get to the facts. I'm just kidding.
So I just have one thing to say before you get started.
Sure, about the facts.
We have a disclaimer. If you are not 18 and over, you cannot listen to this show, okay? Parents, we're not responsible for your kids. Just want to say that.
Oh, no, I'll be blamed for that. No, I swear to God, it'll be Millie in the City blamed for that, guys. Look, we're excited. We're going to break down deal breakers, expectations. We're just going to, we're going to talk about, like, six ways that, keep your sex life amazing. I can't even wait. Look, I want you to welcome. I'm so, so excited. We have Jennifer Smith. She is our resident. So sorry for the long intro. We just found out a good friend of ours passed away, and we had to say something.
That's quite all right. It's good to have friends that support you, but it's always sad when they leave us way too soon.
Yes.
Oh, that hurts our feelings. So now this episode is very perky, so we are very happy about that. Jen, we do have we have a favorite now, another favorite. His name is Dal Fletcher. and he is a relationship strategist, but he said he wanted to come on and talk about sex and relationships with us. Welcome, Dal Fletcher.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us again.
It is a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. I always have a good time when I'm with Millie in the city.
Oh, thank you. Jennifer, he called in, like, was it the week before last? The ladies went bananas. Bananas. And they still sending the email. Like, hey, who is that guy? Like, too bad I didn't, you know, we won't sell in the comments. Okay. Gotcha.
I'm sure, guys, because he has a great voice. I'm sure they were going crazy.
Yeah, he's so amazing. Mm-hmm. And Dal Fletcher, we have a resident sex pert, is what we'll call her, Jennifer Smith. You guys, say hello to her. She's so amazing from Florida.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you? Pleasure to connect with you.
I'm doing well. Nice to meet you. I'm looking forward to this conversation tonight. Should be really good and quite juicy.
It's going to be awesome.
Quite
yeah.
Juicy. Oh, that's what she's all saying. Wow. they already started. Oh, my goodness. Okay, guys, we're going to jump right in. We're going to jump right into this episode. We're going to start talking about love, and we'll get to the sex later. I don't really want to get to the pain, but I guess we have to. We're going to talk about relationships, and I wanted to start with both of you guys because we want to talk about deal breakers and expectations. I want to read you something, and I'll start with beautiful Jennifer Smith. You should see her on Instagram because she is, oh, my gosh, love her. Love. And after I read this statement, I kind of want you guys, I want Jennifer to give her thoughts, and Mr. Fletcher, I'd like to give your thoughts. What they were saying was is there is absolutely nothing wrong with having standards, okay? But what happens when your unspoken ideals are projected onto the other person? The fact of the matter is that having a deal breaker is one thing. Everyone should have boundaries. So this is where we get caught up but you set your sights on someone who you believe will fit that specific superficial need that you are fixated on and then get upset when they don't deliver the way you thought they should. It's something totally different. It's not fair to the other person to be boxed into some, like, storybook mold. That is an unrealistic expectation, and it is an absolute relationship killer. I think I might be guilty of this at one time or another. Jennifer, what do you say to that?
I mean, I think that people definitely go into – wait, we're talking about sex or we're talking about relationships?
We talk about relationships first and then the juicy part later.
Relationships, I think people go in with certain expectations into relationships that are not they're not realistic. And mainly I find that they're not realistic because they don't have those same expectations for themselves. You can't go into a relationship wanting or expect someone to do something for you that you can't even do for yourself. So I find that the personal relationships they have with themselves, it doesn't translate to what they want in their outside relationship. And I see that a lot, and that's something that I really try to work on with clients is have you done the work on yourself first, and then you can project on what you want from somebody else. So that's kind of my stance on it. Yeah.
Excellent. Mr. Fletcher, we already know.
Yeah,
we can't wait to hear what you have to say about what – I'm so anxious for him to speak on what I just spoke about. What are your thoughts?
I would have to say that many times people have these expectations, just like Jennifer said, that they don't even actually demand on themselves. But the true understanding of that is that people fall in love with an idea more than they fall in love with the person. And so that is the danger that we face many times going into a relationship. You have this high expectation. You have this high hopes of what you want them to be rather than actually accepting them for who they actually are. And I call it the fairy tale syndrome. And so when you have the fairy tale syndrome, you want the Prince Charming. You want the Cinderella type effect in your life. However, rarely do we see or have we ever heard what Cinderella turned out to be. Did she gain weight? Did she, you know, start having kids? Did she let herself go? We always want to have that happily ever after, but we rarely hear after what happens to happily ever after. So it's important that we don't get tangled up into this fantasy world of high expectations and then beginning to put a demand on someone who can't even live up to it. And it's unfortunate. That's how many people live their lives, because they have this idea. They're not in love with that person. They're in love with the idea that they had that person would be.
And I agree. Once they don't live up to that, that's when the problems start?
Yeah, I put it like this. If you go into a relationship empty, you will blame that person for not filling you up. And
absolutely,
it's not their responsibility to fill you up. It's their responsibility to stir the pot of whatever you got going on within yourself, because they will set off certain triggers. So those triggers can be positive or negative. But the key is understanding, coming to the table with something already in your pot, not expecting somebody to fill you up.
I totally agree. And I think that when people get into relationships and you have certain expectations and then someone doesn't meet them, then you're already setting yourself up for failure of disappointment. Because if that person doesn't even know what those expectations are, then how will they know what they're gonna live up to, or what is expected of them, you know? And then people come out devastated from those relationships, like, oh, he didn't buy me flowers, or he didn't do this. Well, did you tell him? Did he know that? Did you tell him those were your expectations in the relationship? And most of the time, people don't ever really voice their expectations. They just assume the other person to know.
And I'm going to ask you something about that. It's a couple of things we need to discuss on that, because you can't just bombard somebody either with, you know what, this is what I expect, this is what I want, and then bombard them. What do you do?
Right.
How do you handle that, guys, when you just want to, you like that? Because, you know, you could have had a relationship that was, you know,
Where they did nothing,
or what you could have had, like I've always said, this is kind of weird, I've always said that, there's only a couple men I've been able to say this to, but the couple of men I have been able to say this to, I said this to them, you've kind of ruined it for all other men now. Do you know, and maybe that's a bad thing to say, but kind of they did. You know, now there's where your expectations come in, wouldn't you think? Mm-hmm.
Let's flip the case for a second. And I just want to kind of paint a picture. You've had to say this to a couple of men that they ruined it,
for
the next man to come along. Well, that kind of subconsciously set yourself up that you weren't going to be with another man, that you were automatically going to be with someone else. So why is it that those people who treated you so well, that you're not with those particular people? Because now we have to take an introspective look. Why am I not with that ideal? They were perfect for me, or I love blank about them, but we're still not together. So what is it about me that I have to take that mirror of and begin to say, you know what, I need to do some work? And that's the dangerous part of it, that we sometimes, I believe Jennifer was alluding to earlier, saying, have you done the work? Have you done the work? Put it like this. Are you the person you're looking for is looking for? Because if you're not. Are you the person you're looking for? Are they looking for you? Are you the nut to somebody's screw? Because essentially,
yeah, that goes right along with the rest of the show, doesn't it? That goes, that was a bad. Okay, that wasn't a good comment. It's true.
But here's the thing. We have an ideal list of what we expect and what we look for in a mate. However, are we reflecting the qualities that that mate wants in a mate?
Mm-hmm.
So easy to tell somebody, I want him this tall, I want him to have this much money, I want to have this kind of character, but are you going to be the complement to that type of person?
Exactly.
Okay. So how do you start off? You meet somebody, and then what conversation do you have? What if you're rusty and then you don't have you start out the gate wrong? I've done that.
Here's a unique thing about relationships. Every relationship serves a purpose. And you should have a ultimate purpose of a relationship. What that basically means is, why are you two together? Because when you understand what your purpose is for yourself, it will automatically align you with the people that you need to be with. The second thing it will do is eliminate the people that you don't need to be with. So if I know, you're in the DMV area, correct? So if you wanted to go to New York, you know you got to get on 95 North, right, in order to get to New York. So anybody that wants to take you 95 South, guess what? You don't need to get in the car with them. It's a waste of your time automatically. So if you take that principle when you're entertaining people, you really begin the opportunity to understand, hey, you're going in a different direction. It was nice meeting you. But guess what? That's not the direction that my life is headed in. Oh, but he's cute. He's fine. I don't care. If he's cute, he's fine, he's doing whatever, that you don't need to get in the car. So because it's going in a different direction of what your life is set up to be. Just like Kevin Hart say, the way my bank account is set up, the way your life is set up, guess what?
To
check it in the savings and got to do all that, I can't do it. So the way my life is set up, boo, you as fine as you are, I just can't do it.
I literally said that same thing last night to somebody. Last night I was on a date. This is my third date with this guy. It was my fourth date with this guy. And he got on the topic of talking about interracial relationships. And he said that he said he was against interracial relationship and he was against homosexuals. And I said, well, the way my life is set up, this is not going to go anywhere for me. I said, half of my family is white, and the other half of my friends are gay. So this is not going to work for me. You're entitled to your opinion, to your values and morals, but for me, this is just not going to work. And it was sad because, like, we had really great dates and great conversations up until that point. And, like, you know, for a small part of me was like, well, maybe you can change his perspective. And I was like, nope, we're just on two different paths, and that's okay. But I think, I know my old self would have been too afraid to be alone and would have held on to somebody like this, and which just is taking up space for somebody else who's really supposed to be here. But I think, like, to Daryl's point, is most of the people that we see or meet, they are too afraid to be by themselves, and that's why they tend to stay with people and be in toxic relationships or to stay in a situation where they're really just not happy, but they'd rather be unhappy than happy by themselves. And I feel like that's not a conversation that's taught or a topic that's talked about enough in the home when you're learning how to date or about relationships while growing up, or even as adults. It's not an ongoing conversation that people have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jennifer, I've got to put myself out there because now I'm a little... Okay, so when he said against homosexuals, does it mean he's going to go throw a flaming fire, or he just doesn't believe in gays, not going to disown people, but he's just not for it.
Or he doesn't want to be around them, period.
Well, not, which one was it? Because I, myself, I'm not gay. And so if you want to be gay, great. Wonderful for you. But okay, I'm good. So
he said he didn't like gays because he thought that they were trying to dilute the population and that they were killing off the bloodline.
Ooh.
That was his rationale. Yeah.
Oh, I know you couldn't run out of that. Did you run or did you skip out of there? I'm just asking.
When he said, because we were actually at his place, he had cooked dinner for me for the first time. While he was saying that, I was packing up my things and putting my shoes on. And he said, are you leaving? I said, I sure am. I said, this has been a very enlightening conversation. And then I proceeded to say, the way my life is set up, this is not going to work for me. And he was just like, well, you know, like, you know, I wish that things could be different, but, I'm sorry, you know, that I ruffled your feathers. I said, no, you didn't ruffle my feathers at all. I said, but your views are just, they don't match up with my views. And not to say that we have to be on the same accord, but they at least have to be able to complement each other for us to be able to coexist. And that your views are not going to coexist with mine. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. So,
wow.
And I left, and I haven't heard from him at all. So, clearly it was the right decision.
And so, basically, what Darryl Fletcher was saying is, are you the person you're looking for that's looking, I don't remember how he said it, but, you know, so would you say you were that, you know, it went above my head, would you say you were that kind of person now?
Oh, yeah, now I am, yeah. Yeah. Oh, now
yeah.
Now I am. But that's because I did the work of learning myself, dating myself, really, you know, pulling out the ugly things that were inside of me and dealing with them, and really making sure that I could, that I would want to be with myself. You know, like I go take my dinner myself out to dinner. I tell myself I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. I buy myself flowers. Like, I don't do anything for myself.
Okay.
You know, when I meet somebody, I don't expect them to do anything for me that I don't already do for myself. You know, but I had to do the work, because this goes for anybody who's been in a long string of toxic relationships or you know, bad relationships. You are the common denominator in all of those relationships. So you can't put the blame on everybody else. At some point, you have to turn that finger back and point it to you and say, what am I doing wrong? Why am I picking these kind of people? What can I do to change this? So, like, at some point, you have to turn it around to yourself. And that's just what I did, you know, several years ago. And now I've been able to be in these positions that I'm not afraid to walk away from somebody who I know is not meant for me.
Here comes the bus. Here comes the bus. So sorry. So let me ask you a question, Mr. Fletcher. And it came up last week. I had no intention of talking about this, but I'm just curious. You're a man. We know that. We know you're married. But before that, did you ever enter into a relationship if you were not financially ready to do so? Does that need to be broken down a little bit, or is it a little too vague? I'm only asking because it came up a couple times in the last 3 weeks, I think.
Well, you don't want to put yourself in a situation. Put it like this. In today's society, we have two forms of men, one who wants to be in a relationship and one that just want to play with people. And so for myself, when I was preparing to be in a relationship, I knew what it took to be in a relationship. So part of that is going out. Part of that is entertaining. Part of that is buying gifts, if that's your thing. Part of that is social events. So, you know, if a person is not financially stable, it will put a strain or financially ready to entertain, date. It's going to put a strain on the relationship. So for me, what I did, if I knew that I was not in a emotional place or a financial place to entertain people, I stayed away from them. And so it's important that, see, what we're talking about now is just a simple fact of maturity. Are you mature enough to say, okay, I am who I am, and be okay with who you are? Because if you're not, if you can't, Netflix and chilling is not a date.
I knew he was going to say it. I was waiting for it.
It's not a date. Unfortunately.
Okay, could it be a date later?
See, it's not necessarily a date, but it's spending time together. Now,
but it's an expectation of what date means to you too. Like, you got to define what your expectations are for a date. Yeah.
So knowing that and having those conversations. So, point in case, I met my wife through a dating website, and on that dating website, you know, we had a lot of things that matched and a lot of things that, you know, didn't, whatever. And so our first conversation lasted 4 hours. Within those 4 hours, we had an opportunity to talk about anything and everything under the sun. And one of the things that I got to learn was her expectation. One of the things that she told me was the fact that, hey, listen, if we ever get to the level of where we're traveling together, I do not stay at hotels where I can look at the window and see my car. I said, okay, duly noted. Yeah. So, within that regard, that was always, you know, we traveled a few times before we got married, and, you know, booking those hotels, and even after we got married, booking those hotels, I know where she will lay her head. And so, yeah, with the basic, but see, those expectations were communicated. And so it's important that she was not thinking, oh, he's a nice guy. He ought to know that he doesn't seem like a guy that will stay at a Motel 6. Or what's the other one? A Red Roof Inn. He doesn't seem like a guy who will stay at a Red Roof Inn. See, she didn't make the assumption. She just plainly put it out there. So when we're in our when we're in our dating sphere, we have to make it clear, you know, what these are my expectations, and also communicating in that language. So there's a popular book out, been out for many years, The Five Love Languages, written by Gary Chapman.
Right.
And on how to connect and communicate with someone with their love language. So if your love language is gifts, and then the other person's love language is quality time, don't show up at that doorstep with a whole bunch of gifts when what they want to do is they just want to sit on the couch next to you. And vice versa.
Right.
So the important part of that is people always say, well, you just have to learn how to communicate and you know how to talk to one another. It goes deeper than that. What you really have to do is you have to learn how to speak another language. Because I'm always going to speak my language, but now I have to learn how to speak the language of the person that I'm connecting with. And so
I have a quick question when you're finished, too. I don't want to lose the thought.
Not a problem. I won't let you. So a couple of years ago, I went to Haiti. The island of Haiti, they speak Creole. I can't get anything done in English unless I run into someone who speaks English. So in order to accomplish my goal, in order to accomplish my purpose, I now either have to get an interpreter or learn the language. Same thing in your relationships. Either you have to learn how to get either you have to learn how to get an interpreter, a coach, or mediator, or learn their language in order to connect with them. What's your question, JV?
So my question is, because you hit a very good point. So communication and letting a person know, like your wife did, what her expectation, or not even so much expectation, but the things that you like. I mean, it has nothing to do with, you know, that you're bougie or, you know, anything like that. It's just we live life and we like certain things and we prefer certain things. Don't see anything wrong with that. So what happens when you communicate those things and the person says, oh, I didn't know, you didn't tell me, but you did, and they don't listen. They don't take heed, and they constantly say, well, I didn't know, but I communicated that. do you at that point say, look, I got to go, I can't do this, or is there a way for both of you to be, like, on the same plane? Because it just seems to be kind of hard.
Well, let me ask you this.
Are you under the bus?
JV, do you speak another language?
Yes, sir.
What language is that?
The language I speak is the language of I try to do, not try, I make every effort to do what is pleasing to you, and I expect for certain things that are pleasing to me to be reciprocated.
Okay, so
like French.
Yeah, I was talking about that, but I can work with that, what she gave me too as well. I'll put it to you like this. You're communicating, you're still talking in your language, expecting him to understand. See, the key thing about communication is not about using big or fancy words. It's about connecting with words.
Okay.
And so you have to use your words in order to connect with him. Now, just because you said it once, three times, maybe even 10 times, does not mean he will automatically get it. Because you haven't hit the trigger in him to cause him to action. Put it this way: if we were on a top of a building, and I asked you to jump off, I said I'll give you $50,000 to jump off. You wouldn't take my money. Then I raise it to $100,000. You wouldn't take my money. What if I said I'll give you $500,000? You still wouldn't take my money. Why? Because you value your life more than you value money. Now, let's change the scenario. Let's put the building on fire. I wouldn't have to pay you anything to jump off. Why? Because you have a motivating factor. You have to connect with the person that you're talking to through their motivating factors.
Mm.
And when you're able to connect with their motivating factors, you don't have to ask them to do anything. You'll just present the situation and the atmosphere for them to do something, and they will do it. Does that make sense?
Yes, when you have someone that, halfway agreeable. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you're dealing with somebody who's just hard-headed and stubborn, that's a whole other different subject. We're talking about people who are willing and open to some form of communication. Now, if you're with a hard-headed and stubborn person, then guess what? Why are you with a hard-headed and stubborn person? The issue is not them. The issue is why are you with somebody that you know that doesn't want to speak your language, that is refusing to speak your language? Then you just need to go ahead and cut your losses. And I don't care how much, unless you're in a marriage. Now, that's a whole other different situation. I never recommend divorce for people. Because that's a covenant and you have to work things through. But if you're just in a dating type situation and you're constantly having to deal with a person that is not willing to bow or break or bend or make adjustment, then why are you with them? Why are you with them? Because all you're doing is causing yourself heartache, hurt, and pain. And in the process, You're weighing down the relationship. And what I mean by weighing down the relationship is because every relationship has a certain level of pressure that it can survive. And life will throw enough pressure at us on its own. Why add to that pressure by settling for treatment that you don't deserve and that you don't desire?
Wow. Thank you. You made a great point.
Please don't tell your wife that I love you. And I really don't mean it in any other way, but I really love you, Dal Fletcher.
My wife is listening, so she heard you. She
cool. Oh, man, I was kidding. I was joking. She has a gem.
She does.
I kid. No. We love you.
Woo. It's gotten hot. So
it's out of here. We'll take a break. Guys, we'll be right back. You're on with Connect the City.
Hey guys, call in tonight. I see it all over my face.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You are back on with Connect the City. I am Millie in the City, your hostess with the mostest.
I'm J.B. Jones, the co-host with the most. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing.
You know what, Jennifer, she never does it right. She never does it. I'm the mostest, and she just ruins it every time. She expects
I'm nothing different, Jennifer.
You see how she ruins it for me every time. Okay, so now we talk about relationships. This is an action-packed show. We were on relationships a little too long. Now we're going to get to the sex. Sex and relationships, sex therapist Jen, it seems to be, it's like it's just not working. Some people are in sex in the relationship just for the sex, they just don't know. So some of the things, what they were saying is if you're in a relationship, I found six things that they were talking about as far as sex and relationships. Let's talk about, we'll go through all six, and both of you give us your opinion, and we'll move on. They said that, I saw online that this person particularly wanted to practice the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is do unto your partner what you would like to be done for yourself. And before you speak on that, let me bring in another caller with the last four digits of 2526. Caller, you're on with Connect the City. May we have your name?
Hello, Millie. How you doing? And your partner. I got to get her name. My name is Vika Dennis Taylor.
Vika, how are you?
I'm J.B. Jones.
Miss J.B. Jones, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Okay, so what we are talking about right now is, Jen, if you can just go ahead and talk with us about sex and relationships, practicing the platinum rule. Is that the platinum rule where you do unto your partner that you would like done for yourself?
Sometimes I think that the platinum rule applies. But my opinion is that you communicate to your partner what you would like done. Because what you do to somebody else, you may not want to do to you because that's not something that you enjoy. So it's really important. And I know I get this a lot with women. They don't want to be teachers. They don't want to teach their partner what to do to them. They just somehow want him to know what it is and to figure it out. But that's not what a good lover does. You communicate about what you want your partner to do to you and tell them how to get you off. I know that seems like not as romantic, quote unquote, but it's really important for if you want to have an orgasm, you have to tell your partner what works for you. So I think that the platinum rule applies sometimes, not all the time. I think that the platinum rule probably applies most when people want to do a 69. So, like,
back up. 69, what happened with that?
I said I think the platinum rule applies most for a 69, but not really a lot in the bedroom.
Not in the bedroom. So you don't really agree with the platinum rule?
I think that it just applies sometimes, not for most people, because it's most people. It's what you do to somebody is not, maybe just not what you want done back to you. That might not stimulate you in the same way. But the 69 is pretty much like the platinum, you know, it's platinum rule.
Okay. Mr. Fletcher, what do you have to say about that?
I would have to agree with Jennifer because, like, you know, just because I like it, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that my partner likes it. And so I think the key to this, or the essence of this particular statement, is selfish. You don't want to be in a relationship or a sexual situation with someone who's selfish. So, okay, let's say you like to be rubbed. Let's say one partner likes to be rubbed, but the other partner likes to be patted. Okay, so the person that likes
like
to be rubbed, I'm just saying. Okay, if you want to use the term spank, we'll just say spank. Okay,
right.
So you got spank versus rub. So you got a person that likes a little spank, and you got a person that likes a little rub. And so here you go into trying to spank the person that likes to be rubbed. And so you can't do that because they don't like
right.
it. It doesn't do anything for them. And so with
right.
that, it's important that you communicate what your likes and dislikes are in an effort to make sure that everybody is on the same playing field. And Jennifer said
exactly.
a wonderful thing. She said that so many people don't want to have that conversation because they think it's unsexy that a person should just automatically know. Guess what? Nothing in this world happens to us. We are taught. Everything that we experience is taught. You only have two fears when you are born. That's the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. Everything else you are taught. So if you like to be rubbed, then somebody rubbed you when you were little. Point in case. When I was a little boy, my mom used to clean my ears out with a Q-tip. One of the greatest feelings in the world. When I got older, I wanted the women that I entertained, I was like, hey, could you clean out my ears? And I know that might sound crazy, but the sensation and the connection and everything that went along with it, I loved it and I enjoyed it. So I was taught that feeling of enjoyment. So you have to get to the root of where do you get your sensual pleasures from. And I know we haven't necessarily gotten to the topic of orgasms yet. But
oh,
it's coming.
It's coming.
So literally.
We promise.
So we have to be able to pay attention to where we get our sensual alerts or our sensual awareness from, because it all comes from somewhere. And if you're not aware of where it comes from, then what it will do, it will present a challenge in your romance life, because you don't even know how to communicate what you like.
Right. Well, people also don't know how to communicate what they like because they're not masturbating, and they don't even know how to please themselves or how to give themselves an orgasm.
We ain't even talk about masturbation yet. Hold on.
Hey, Jennifer, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Hold on. We coming. See, she came right. We love you. We absolutely love you. Well, you're supposed to be over here anyway. So what another thing is, I know this is a big one, don't compare your sex lives. When we begin to compare our sex lives to other people, we often find a way to either make ourselves seem better or less than. A long-term sexual
right.
connection is not about who is doing it the best or who is having it the most often.
What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that question was for me. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Well, not even a question. What do you think about that? It's just about not comparing. It's one of the golden rules, not comparing your sex life. Like, say, if you have someone who just rocks your world.
Right, yeah.
Like Michael Jackson.
So this is a big thing I tell people all the time. Don't compare your sex life with somebody else. If you're not willing to communicate what you want from this new partner, every couple,
okay.
every person that you have sex with, you have a different sex style with that person. You learn different things. You know each other's bodies differently. Like, and even you may be a little more freaky with that person than you were with the person before that. So you can't compare. Cause and don't think that the same way you gave a blowjob to your ex is going to be the same way you can give it to the new person, because that's not going to work. They might like something different. So I tell people don't compare, and I tell women all the time, don't compare penises. Don't compare your ex's penis to the new guy's penis, because guess what? It's going to be different. You have to adapt. You have to adapt and adjust. Right. You have to adapt and adjust. And really be able to be in tune with that person and their physical needs, their sexual needs, and really just allow all the other past experiences kind of to fade to black and just focus on that person. But if you continue to compare, you're always going to be disappointed. And that's not going to be fair to that person who's making a choice to be the person that has sex with you. That's not going to be fair to them. And you wouldn't like it if it was the other way around, you know? So I tell people to be more considerate when they do start comparing. That's just not fair. So.
Okay. What do you have to say about that, Daryl? Then we'll go on to the next one.
I agree with her. There's no reason to compare or, you know, I mean, yeah, there's just no reason to compare. I mean, I can't really put more on to it. And 'cause put it like this. Anytime you compare anything, you're going to devalue one of those things. So records, they say, are meant to be broken. So you could have had like they say Michael Jordan was the best basketball player of all time. Okay, great. So now we got all these other people. Now we're comparing them to Michael Jordan. So we don't, instead of valuing the person for who they are, we have to we want to use something as a benchmark. So that's why it's important. I many people don't believe this, but you know, when I went my wife, I told her, I said, if there's no connection for me between me and a young lady, I'm not going to have sex with her. Now, I dated a lot of women, and I have had a lot of foreplay, but intercourse, I limited my intercourse. And the reason why is because I believed in the attachment of spirits, number one. And I didn't necessarily. So if I knew I wasn't going, you want to go be there for the long haul, then guess what? You know, we just wasn't vibing like that. But you know, the actual act of intercourse, I limited my intercourse. Foreplay, I just like to play. I mean, we're all adults here. But I did that.
We know
because
what you mean.
I did that because the simple fact of, hey, I'm not gonna just be getting with any and everybody and to be comparing this one to that one and this and that. I ain't got time for that. I don't want to intermingle all that stuff going on. So, you know, I would just limit, you know, my sexual partners and or just eliminate them out of my life completely.
Wow. I'm going to say the next one, but real quick, this one person says, because every man believes that they are the greatest lover.
Oh, my God, don't tell me.
Is that what you think?
Yes, that's what y'all think. You promise.
Mr. Eric.
Well here's the challenge to that statement, and I'm not going to challenge that statement from the standpoint of saying that they're wrong, but I would say this. Many times, you know why men think that they are the greatest lover? Because here's their barometer. Their barometer is, will nobody complain? Right?
But exactly. They shouldn't.
But, yeah, the absence of complaint is not the measurement of greatness. So just because somebody didn't say something to you or try to correct you, then guess what? That doesn't necessarily make you great. And then you also have to take into account of where are you getting your sexual cues from? Because if you're getting your sexual cues from pornography, then you're in the negative already, because that is an atmosphere of which, number one,
no.
Things are greatly sensationalized, a whole lot of acting, a whole lot of other stuff, and no sensual connection is actually taking place. All what's taking place is just some screwing. Now, if you just want to screw somebody, you know, hey, have at it. But I believe sex was created for intimate connection.
Okay.
And
intimate connection.
So if you are looking for intimate connection, then you can't take your cues from a pornography video. You have to take your cues from the person that you're seeking to connect with.
Okay, so we're going to bring in the next call.
I also wanted to just add in there that men think they're the best lovers because women never tell them the truth. They never say if it is bad, if the sex is bad, or if they are faking orgasms. Women never say it. So you always give. So men always have a false perception that every sexual encounter was the best one, and that's just not the case. But I'm going to drop some jewels on the guys tonight. Just one time, I'm going to give y'all a jewel. If the woman does not get up to pee after sex, she did not come.
No, be quiet, Jennifer.
I'm going to say it again. If she does not get up to pee after sex, she did not come. So just let that marinate and think about all the women who did not get up to pee after they came.
Okay, so the call
was the
next
step on the back.
No, wait a minute. We're going to have a caller.
Caller with the last four digits of 3065. You're on with Connected City. Can we have your name, please?
This is Cassie. How are you all doing?
Well, good evening, Cassie. Thank you so much. You came in at a good time.
Right, but we're not going to have sex therapist Jen on anymore because she just told our secrets.
I'm just trying to educate the masses.
If you could expound on that and tell the biological ramifications of that, please.
Okay, what?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's give the caller a chance. She got she on the line. Let's give her a chance.
Well, we have some other things to go through before the show is over. Go ahead, JV.
Well, real quick, we're going to go to the next one. The next one is focus on what turns you on about your partner, not the turnoff. It's so easy to dwell on the things that turn us off, but we don't spend enough time focusing on what turns us on.
What if everything turns us off?
Oh.
Like, look, I don't like the way you sit.
Okay.
You or you.
So, okay. So who would like to comment? Cassie, since you came on, you want to say something?
You know what? I heard everything that was said. The gentleman that was speaking, I will commend you because you told it correctly. A lot of people have these fantasy ideals about what sex is. You have to learn who your partner is. You have to have communication to tell each one of them what you don't like, what you do like, how I feel this way, and it doesn't feel right this way. You have to be honest. The young lady that said if you don't pee when you get up, that means you didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how true that is, and I'm not knocking
She's
that. But my thing is, I'm not a sex therapist. But I will
say
this:
I'm not saying it.
But here's my thing: if you're with the right partner and he knows what to do and knows what you know your G spot and all that is, you're going to do what needs to do. Okay. And now whether you get up and pee or not, I would suggest any female pee before you have sex. Because a lot of these females now, I'm being honest, a lot of these females now talk about, oh, I get the golden spread, I get the golden pee. No, that's just nasty. Get up and go use the bathroom before you go get in
bed.
Let's be real.
Peeing when you're, oh, good God. Can we move on to the next one, JV?
Yes, they do talk about that. They brag about that, and they think it's something wonderful. And the guys even say out their mouth, oh, I made you do so-and-so. No, her bladder was full. Get over it. She didn't do anything. Okay, y'all. I'm sorry.
My girl Gigi said she always gets up and pee.
Oh, Gigi, we don't know.
That's not true. She said that's not true because she always got to get up and pee.
Gigi, we don't know. This is why we're on Facebook Live, guys. We don't want to know about the sex life, Gigi. Thanks. It's like, no, I'm kidding, hey, Gigi. So we have another caller on with the last four digits, 5574. Caller, you're on with Connected City. May we have your name?
Yes, I am Aisha or Michelle.
Hi, Aisha.
Hi. Interesting topic, I will say.
Good. I'm glad you like.
So one of the things that I just wanted to comment on is that it's not always about the orgasm. It's about the intimacy. And that's
right.
Just something I want people to think about. Yes, sex is great, but sometimes the intimacy is more important than the actual orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Nice point.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got, JD?
So next, have sex at least once a week. How many of us are having sex at least once a week? Studies show that couples
Everybody
have
should
sex
be having
once
sex at least once a week, at least with yourself.
Well, hold that thought, Jennifer. studies show that couples who have sex once a week have a higher level of relational satisfaction. Okay, who's about to be arrested?
Yeah,
for that?
Yeah,
we got
hey,
the
look.
Siren.
Hey, look,
Darryl,
it's the fire truck. It's the fire truck.
It's about they about to arrest Darryl for that Q-tip fetish he got. That's what it is. So anyway, sex also produces a physiological and psychological afterglow that can last for days.
Absolutely.
And remember,
mm-hmm.
it's not just how often you have sex, but also how you engage with each other.
Baby, what you wearing?
Yeah. I'll be lying.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever, let me ask you a question, JB. I don't know if you've ever done it. I think I've lied once. Have your man ever call you and he's like, baby, what you wearing? And you got on grandma draws? And you be like,
I got the sexy black lace ones on.
No, I never did that.
She said grandma draws. She said grandma draws. Oh, my God. She said grandma draws.
I don't own
God.
Any. Remember that. I don't own any grandma draws.
Oh, my gosh. She said grandma draws.
For real? I'm the only. Okay, that's fine. Y'all, okay, great. Go ahead. So, when you're in a relationship, what they do say is, how true is this, Jennifer and Darryl? All y'all got grandma draws. Y'all killing me right now.
No, she did. I don't have none either.
You know what? You know what, Miss Cassie, baby? Okay, don't try it with me this evening. If you do have children, how important is it to schedule a kid-free date night? Better yet, pencil hotel and hotel sex dates. What do you think about that?
Hotel sex dates.
Love that. What if you got the baby? If you got the kid,
I mean,
how important is that?
It's important. I wouldn't say that, you know, hotel sex date or this type of date. The important part of it is the essence of getting away from it all, and your greatest sexual organ is your mind, and you have to be able to engage a person's or stimulate a person's mind before you can stimulate their body.
Mm-hmm.
And the important part of that is if you're in a house. And you know the familiar is kind of desensitizing that person. Getting away gives them an opportunity to get their mind on something else. So if you got a pile of bills sitting on your nightstand, and so you worried about the bills, then that's going to inhibit your sexual encounter, because you know if you get an opportunity to get away from everything, it gives you an opportunity to really connect. And so you have to take them on a sexual or intimate journey. And what do I mean by that? You know, it's layers to that thing, to where you can actually get them to be liberated and be free. So you're not just going to say, all right, baby, we're finna hit the road, and she automatically going to be, you know, engaged with what you got going on. You got to give her that, those drop those crumbs in order for her, to forget the kids, in order for her to forget the bills, in order for her to forget, you know, lay that out so that every gesture, every notion, every is unclouding her mind from what she normally thinks about. And with that, now you can take her on that intimate journey of where she's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then like, so, okay, this past weekend, it was my anniversary. And so my wife and I, we went away maybe about 45 minutes up the road from where we live, or hour away from where we live, to this nice hotel community, because we were like, all right, we're going to go in the city. Like, no, nah. I was like, baby, I don't want to go in the city. We see the city skyline all the time. Let's go somewhere different, you know, further up. So we went there. Great community, live and work community, nice hotel, but it gave us a chance. It was far enough to get away for that drive to say, oh man, this is nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got back, we were said, you know, my wife said to me, back to whatever, and so that moment away was a disconnect from our regular life. And
okay,
so,
can I ask you one quick question before you go on? Do you find that the sex during those times seems to be a lot or a bit different and better when you do stuff like that
Yeah, well, yes,
then the norm.
But it goes back to the mental capacity. It goes your greatest. What?
Okay, who is that?
Put it like this. I don't have to touch a woman, or I don't have to touch my wife to get her moist. I can call her on the phone and paint a picture with some words, but these words existed in my head.
Take a picture of what, Daryl? Okay.
And no, I didn't say get. Anyway.
Oh, paint a picture.
I was like, paint a picture.
What?
Paint a picture.
Go ahead and take that picture.
I'll say a visual image. And so with that visual image, I did not touch her. I did not correct her. But what I did was I connected with her mind through the thoughts or the words from my mind, and I use that as a way to take it. In my book, Disgustingly Beautiful, there's a portion in my book the chapter's called The Long Walk Home. And the reason why I call it The Long Walk Home is because when I was a little boy, it took me 10 minutes from my school. It was a 10-minute walk from school to my house. However, it would sometimes take me 30, 40, sometimes an hour to get home. Why? Because I would stop and play over here. I would go to a friend's house. I would pick the roses. I would kick the rocks. I would play with a dog. I was going on a journey, but my destination was always the same. And so if you take that same principle to your sexual encounters, the journey can look different so many different ways. But the end is intimacy. The end is if that's what you want, an orgasm.
That.
The end is, you know, that connection. Like, so my wife always tells me, she says, for me, baby, it's not always about the orgasm. It's about the time and the intimate moments that we connect with. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so men can sometimes be microwaves. Women can be crock pots. And I talk about this in the book, too. So with the microwave, you punch the button, bing, 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 bing. 60 seconds, you're done. But when a crock pot, you have to put it, you have to put the meat in, you have to put the vegetables in, you have to put the spices in, you put the top on that thing, you let it simmer for a while, and then you walk away from it and leave it alone. But by the time you come back to it, the meat is falling off the bone. Our women are the same way. If we would just drop those little things in the journey, a little thing here, a little thing there, that it's marinating, and so now you've piqued her interest mentally, and so because you piqued her interest mentally, now you can get on that journey to intimacy, so where you can have that place of sexual gratification, and so that's the route you want to go.
Damn.
Okay,
yeah,
now
I agree.
We're going to go on to the next one. JV, go ahead. Right under the bus she goes.
So, would you say that it's bad to do that if you're not going to follow through with the palate?
After you done marinated, you done seasoned,
and all that.
And after that, you're like,
No. You know why it's not bad? Because the thing about it is you're setting an atmosphere of constant engagement. It's really all about, you know, intimacy.
But don't
so
at some point
about,
you gotta hit the spot. Don't you gotta eat the meal at some point, right?
But
put
it like this. I touch my wife constantly because I want her to know that she's very physically attractive to me. I write from time to time. I write poems. From time to time, I'll buy her flowers. From time to time, I'll get her a card or whatever it is. But it's not always about the destination. Sometimes you just have to take a ride on the road and enjoy the view.
Okay.
And so,
we want to ride the pony, though. It's cool. We want to be like Genuine. We want a stallion. Yeah, I was talking about Genuine. Y'all tried it. Okay, so we need to get to this.
But the essence of it is really, and once again, it's about that communication. Because, hey, every time I touch you, like my wife, when my wife touches me, she says, hey, not every time I touch you, I mean, that means I want some.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, but if we're constantly touching each other, guess what? It's always an opportunity for a session. I told my wife, I said, hey, I could be on my deathbed. If I got 5 minutes, go ahead and give it to me. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm always ready. I'm always ready. Ain't no setting up. Remember, I'm the microwave. I'm the microwave. You punch me a couple of times.
Yep.
Ding. We ready to go off.
You ready to go?
But,
okay. So we want to get to Jennifer's been waiting. We have two more topics to talk about, but I know she's been waiting. The last and final thing about sex and relationships is, I had never heard of this word before, but I understand what it means now. It's have outer course. And that's for most of us, intercourse is often the main entree on the sex menu. Outer course, a.k.a. oral sex, manual stimulation, and other forms of touch and direct clitoral stimulation, I'll put on the back burner. Real quickly, can you speak to that, Jennifer, and then we've got to move on to these orgasms and masturbation conversation real quick.
Outer course is important because, one, you can do it yourself. You can have that stimulation to yourself, whether you're a man or a woman. And it's important because sometimes those nerve endings on the outside are just as powerful as the nerve endings on the inside. It's important, though, to be able to know. One, it's really important to know every part of your genitals, whether you're a man or a woman. And I have found that both genders, neither one of them know all the parts of their genitals. And that's important because once you know each part of them, then you know the functions of them. Then you know where the nerve endings are in them.
Right.
And then you know how to stimulate yourself. And then you can teach your partner on how to stimulate you. So outer course is really important. I think even in foreplay of just having someone as a woman, just having a man rub his hands over top of your clit. Just rubbing it. You know what I mean? That brings a warmth to you. That gets you aroused. And it's just soft rubbing. You know, it's not even putting his fingers inside you. It's just literally rubbing on your clit.
Oh,
or just when you're kissing, having your bodies up against each other. You know, just rubbing your bodies up against each other. Feeling each other's warmth. Smelling each other. You know, those are all part of outer course to me. It's not just all about, you know, the genitals. And then I don't know. Now that head being referred to as outer course, that's like probably the first time I ever heard that. But I guess for the man, it's a form of outer course. I teach fellatio classes. I'm real big on outer course.
I do.
I'm actually going to be bringing it. I'll be bringing it to DC this summer.
Yay!
So
good.
Yeah. So I'll let you ladies know for sure.
He takes pictures.
In those cases, it's important not only to know the functions and the parts of your own genitals, but of your partner's genitals. So that you know, like as women, it's good to know on how to give a proper blowjob on somebody, and that person's going to tell you what actually stimulates them also. Because the way you gave a blowjob to somebody else, you're not going to be able to duplicate that with somebody new.
You need
to know what works for them, you know? So I'm a big fan of outer course because I think it's part of foreplay, and that is something that I feel like most people lack in their sexual relationships. So I think outer play is good, and it's a way to kind of build up the momentum for sex.
So two things, and we need to move on to Millie's Moments immediately. Darrell Fletcher, there's some people on our Facebook. We won't say their names because we think your wife will kill us. They want to know if you have a brother or anything. And two, Jennifer, they don't know that you are in Miami, and they want some
yes.
of the people want your number. So let's go to Millie's Moments real quick. And usually I'm having a moment, but I'm not having a moment this particular time. What I want to talk about is two very, very important things, and I want you guys to talk to me about that. We've got to be brief. We've just talked so much and everything, and we've just been enjoying ourselves, so we've got to be brief because the time is almost up. There's a big issue about size being a factor, and I want to read one of these.
Lord.
I saved this letter. You know what, Jennifer, you're not going.
Lord.
Jennifer, you're not going. Okay, don't talk to me today. Okay, I want to read this letter that came in to Connect the City really quick, and I saved it. Okay, it says, Dear Connect the City, I saw on Connect the City's Facebook page that one of your subtopics for tonight talked about size being a factor. Yes, I do believe that a man's size matters, but in my situation, I feel like the man that I'm involved with it's more about him than me. I feel like he is self-conscious about it and reflecting that onto me. Signed, please supersize my meal now.
Oh, wow.
Okay, wait, what was her question? Like, that just took me all out of the moment.
What she was saying was, sometimes I guess size does matter, but it doesn't really matter that much to her. And what she was saying was, she feels like size matters more to him, and then he reflects that on to her. What should she do about that? Because maybe he doesn't have, he doesn't have the big, you know, safari
right.
penis.
Right.
I'm sorry. I saw it. That's not my fault. He shouldn't have put it on.
I still haven't seen
wow.
it. But,
ooh, wow. It's nice.
I think if she doesn't care, which I've run into this issue before, if she doesn't care about his penis size, then she has to communicate with him that how it makes her feel when he imposes those projections onto her.
Okay.
Like, she has to be willing to tell him, like, listen, you always say these things, and it kind of makes me feel uncomfortable because
okay.
I don't really know what to say to you because it doesn't really matter to me. I'm very happy with your penis size and the way that you perform, so I don't know where this insecurity is coming from. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
she has to be willing to talk to him about
yes.
how she's you know, how it makes her feel when he says these things. If he has some other, you know, personal internal issues about his appearance or penis
like.
Size, then that's something that he could talk to a therapist about, or he could
okay.
talk to his urologist about. So those,
his
you know, it's his urologist, kind of, you know,
no,
the male
is,
version of the gynecologist. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Well,
go ahead, Daryl.
I would, before we get to the urologist and all of that type of stuff, I think that one of the practical steps that he may be able to take is to stop watching porn, because that's where he's getting his insecurity from.
Okay.
Because
oh.
he's seeing the size
okay.
of people on camera, and that's where he's comparing himself. And like I said earlier, when you compare yourself or anything, one of those things is going to lose value. And so the key thing that he has to do is stop watching porn, because unless he's walking around looking at other men's penises, how would he know what his penis size is up to?
Don't men measure their penis with a ruler?
No.
No, regardless of measuring his own penis, and I know there are some men that do that, how would he
right,
know what
right.
other men are doing versus what he has? And so he's looking at an image of, you know, man, this dude is packing. And then he look at it himself, he's like, well, mine ain't like that. And then so once again, he's looking at the video, he's hearing the woman holler, and so he's like, well, shoot, my woman don't holler like that. Well, maybe, you know, so all these images are playing in his head that are feeding his
right.
insecurity. And so if she says she's cool with it, then first thing is, hey, stop watching the porn. Two, embrace who you are and just love yourself from the place who you are. And then if you want to go add
right.
some inches or whatever,
okay.
then you go to the urologist and do all that other side.
Right. In my experience, most men get those insecurities based on a comment a previous woman has said to them. most of the time it's because some other woman, kind of like we were talking about earlier, compared his penis to somebody else she was with. And now that created a complex for him or an insecurity. But I do agree with Daryl. Porn is a big one, but also it comes from past experiences with another woman, you know? And that's why I always tell women, if a guy asks you what's the biggest dick you ever been with, do not tell him. Because then where do you go from there? What is that information going to do for him? It's going to create insecurity if he's smaller than that other person. So when guys ask those kind of questions, I always say it doesn't matter. It's not relevant. It's not relevant. So, you know, those are kind of trick questions when people ask. But when they're asking, well, how big of a penis have you been with or that you've seen, that's now going to create an issue. You know what I mean? And it really isn't relevant information because you're choosing to be with that person. You're choosing to have sex with that person.
Who's measuring penises? I'm not going to go measuring the penises.
Or if they have on great sweatpants, that's not my fault. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so we've got to get ready to get out of here, guys. So you're saying that they're either watching porn or someone has told them, because I had a girlfriend who said that she really liked this guy. She liked this conversation and everything. And then I can't remember what she said, but his statement to her was, you know what, I don't even think we can date or whatever. I got a small penis. Right off the break. She was like, what? He just said it. I have a small penis. And he said it like more than once. And he just knocked himself off the game in the beginning because that was his insecurity. And we do have to go, but what does she do? Well, it doesn't matter now, but why don't men do that?
I mean, I've had that happen before. I've had that happen before. And honestly, that's something that's happened to them. Like, that's a deep-rooted thing that's happened in past experiences. Or some woman or somebody said, you know, we can't always assume that it's always, like, their partner. But sometimes when guys are just joking around in the locker room, they're at the gym together, and his friends might have said something. You know what I mean? Or you do watch porn, and they don't ever have anyone in there with small penises. You know what I mean? So there could be other factors that happen, and it's your job as a partner. If she's engaging with him, it's her job to kind of help be there and support him and kind of stroke his ego to make him feel good about not his penis size, but that she wants to be intimate with him, and it doesn't really matter. It's not a factor for her. But if he continues to bring it up and have a real issue with his own body, as we all have things about our bodies we don't like, you have to be willing to deal with that yourself. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, to a certain degree, you have to deal with those things yourself and seek other help with it. So, she can try to talk to him about it. But if he's resistant, then that's something she's going to have to let him sort out on his own.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go into JV's thoughts. JV's got a couple of thoughts.
Can't wait for these thoughts.
My first thought is I have heard from different individuals that the biggest problem they're having is with their mate not listening to the things that would please them. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't listen to what's really going to please you. That's one, and I want to hear what both Daryl and Jennifer have to say about that. And my other thing is, what if you're interested in having a celibate relationship, not based on religion per se, but just to the extent that, you know, you want to really get to know a person mentally and everything before you give yourself as far as intercourse is concerned. How do you approach that and the person doesn't go running in the other direction?
I
think you have to be prepared that if you say that and somebody decides to run the other direction, then that's not the person for you. The person who stays and actually wants to have the conversation, then that's somebody who actually respects what you stand for. So I think that if that's what you're looking for and that's what you're wanting to explore is celibacy, then stick with it. Don't let other people change your mind about it.
Do you find a lot of people talking about that these days? Because I'm seeing more and more of that. Women are just tired of going through the relationship after relationship and giving their body time after time, and now they're just like, you know what? I'm not doing it.
I see it. I've seen it more in the last year, for sure. Which I think is great. But you have to be willing that not everybody's going to want that, and you have to be prepared for those people to just walk about your life, and that's fine, because as we were talking about earlier, you have to let people go that's not walking the same path as you. So if that person wants to leave, that means that's you don't want them around anyway. You want someone who's willing to at least have the conversation and hear you out and even ask you, like, well, why do you want to be celibate? Or how long you been doing it? What do you hope to achieve by it? Those are the kind of things you should be, you know, listening for when you tell people and what their response is. That's my opinion.
And what about you, Mr. Fletcher?
I would honestly have to agree with what she says. You know, if you're not going in the same direction, look, the challenge becomes when we put an emotional investment in someone that doesn't deserve our emotional investment just yet. So you're invested in that particular person and you want them to do all these different things and whatever, but at the end of the day, they have shown you nothing to say they're worth your time, your money, and ultimately your body. So, you know, you just have to be prepared to say, all right, this is my position in life. And if you can't get with it, then guess what? You're not the person that's supposed to be in my life. And you have to be secure about it. And right. Whether it's for religious reasons or whatever it is, you can't put yourself in a position where, you know, you want to, and then you put yourself, you tempt yourself. You know, I've had women who told me that, because there was a portion of my life where I was celibate, and I had women who told me that they were celibate as well. But then, they would put themselves in positions where it would tempt me or to push the envelope or see how far I would go. So, you know, that's not something that you want to put that's not something you want to put yourself in this situation for.
Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on and speaking with us. We've got to get to these hashtag I can and hashtag I can't topics. We'll just run through them. But before that, real quick, what do you say to somebody who, because I know sometimes men get, well, I'm a woman, so like men get complacent and they just don't do the sexy things that they might have done before. And then you try to tell them about it and they still are complacent. What do you do then if you're in a relationship? Real quick, guys.
I mean,
Daryl, you go first.
Yeah, it just simply goes back to being able to communicate and communicate in their language. Just because you're talking doesn't mean you're being heard. So it's important that you have to have the opportunity to connect those triggers that connect with him. Paint a picture that will get him to see what you're saying, not just say, hey, listen to the words I'm saying. No, I want you to understand and feel what I'm actually saying. And so one of the things that my wife does for me all the time, she says, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, would, you know, fill in the blank. And so what that does is that really paints a picture of like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying now. Because if it's just a situation of, hey, doing this, doing that, I need more, then that's not really not going to connect with him. So you got to be able to figure out how you can connect with
him. I completely forgot. They didn't mean to do this on purpose. We might not be able to get to our topics. We forgot about, and real quickly and really briefly, 30 seconds from each of you, there are men who cannot masturbate, and there's women who can't have orgasms. What do you guys say to that as to why that may be the case?
And what can they do?
And what can they do? Because we're thinking that all men can do that.
I always recommend people get a physical first. Get a physical, go to your urologist and gynecologist first, because sometimes it's physical, not mental. So I always recommend people go to the doctors first, second, you can go to a sex therapist or you can get a sex coach that will be able to help walk you through to get to those goals.
Maybe we can do Q-tip therapy. Daryl, real quick, I know you said something to, I think that's hilarious. Daryl, I'm going to tease you about that forever now, sir. And I'm just going to be kidding, but I could have sworn you said it was a little something different to me earlier, that for the most part it's mental, especially with the men who can't masturbate. Didn't we discuss that earlier?
Yeah, well, in studies, most of the time, the vast majority of people that are having a hard time masturbating and achieving orgasm, there is some form of mental block. But I would agree with Jennifer that I believe there is a small percentage that it's something biological. So you want to cover your bases on both, you know, because many times women may have been molested, you know, have different sexual encounters, and that mental place, it kind of blocks them from achieving or getting to that level of ecstasy or getting to that level of pleasure. And so if those are the type of situations, then, you know, there are different therapists that will help you, you know, untangle all those subconscious things that are going in your head that will allow you to achieve some of those levels of ecstasy that you've been looking for.
Okay, so real quick, we're going to go through the hashtag I can and hashtag I can't topics. I don't think we'll get to them all. We do have a caller with the last four digits of 6489. Caller, you're on with Connected City. May we have your name? And that's fine. We are at 2 minutes left for the show. Okay, so JV, let's run through them real quick. Can we? No. Oh, you want to talk about Trump? I didn't. Okay. We want to give our condolences to the Cosby family. Bill Cosby lost his daughter, Insa. Trump says that he would have tried to, you know what, I'm not reading that.
Trump wants to stop the Parkland shooters with his bare hands.
But besides that,
he's just going to throw some guns in the teacher's hands and
say, I knew she was going to
shoot him up, bang, bang, and hope you don't hit one of the kids in the process. Hashtag.
Get to the next one. Just
y'all see this hashtag I can on my shirt?
Okay, go ahead, JB, because I'm a little mad about that.
I love this one, though, guys. Maybe they can have a Tesla in front of all of the schools because now they're bulletproof. The Tesla bulletproof Model S shields against ballistic and bio attacks.
Wow.
I want one of those. I'm going to go see if I can get finance for that, baby. Hashtag I can.
Hashtag I can on that. We want to give a special applause to basketball phenom Kevin Durant for donating $10 million to the Prince George's County Public Schools. We love him for that. The Black Panther is on his second week, and it's unstoppable, guys. Yes, $700 million going to $1 billion.
Yes.
And
yes,
my favorite subject, we have a minute left, is if you know who Stevie J is, Stevie J is representing himself in his $1.3 million custody case. What y'all call what? Anyway, let me try it.
We got to go, guys. Look, real quick, we got three festivals coming up this summer, and y'all need to check out event4dcn.com. Check out all our festivals. We're sponsored by DC Nightlife, DCNITELIFE.com, the best place to go for your entertainment, and the app City Life. And what else we got?
We've got lunch, maybe dinner. The app, it is coming out. It's for singles. It's different. It's edgy. And it promises to deliver just lunch, guys. We want to say thank you to our special guest, Jennifer Smith. You're awesome.
Thank you, Dal Fletcher.
You're so awesome.
Can I tell people where to contact me?
Real quick.
Yeah, really quick. Yes. 10 seconds.
Okay, you can find me at Sex Therapist Jen on Instagram, or you can email me at sextherapistjen@gmail.com.
How do you spell Jen?
J-E-N.
J-E-N.
All right, guys.
Sex Therapist Jen, all one word.
Thank you, lady. We love you guys.
Enough. But I don't have what you're good enough, okay?
never said anything.
Of course they
did.
Bye-bye, guys.
Night,
thank
guys.
You for joining in.
Let's
this show was explosive. Do we just need like
bye.
Two?
Love.
Do we need 2 hours? Did we need 2 hours? Got Facebook Live.
But
wait a minute,
real quick. Do we have any time left? Let me tell you real quick. Oh, my God. The statements on here. I got this one I just want to read. Right
oh,
quick.
Wow.
From Sunshine. Sunshine said, well, yeah, Sunshine.
Sunshine Bland? Oh, no. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and she says that it's her job as a woman to make him feel confident. Love it. Gina said, I just want some ass. Where can I get some? And Sarah said,
what?
Nasty.
Shame on you guys.
Well, she said, oh, and she said she has a book.
Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.